Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Bodison, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part 3 of The Manifestation of the Spirit, as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 7, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul writes, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So, as we come back to this subject of the gifts of the Spirit, or here Paul refers to these as the manifestations of the Spirit, it's important, again, to keep in mind that the ultimate purpose of these gifts is the building up and the strengthening of the body of Christ. So we've got to just keep that in mind. This is what God intended with the gifts, that they would build up, that they would strengthen the body. So, since that's the case, when there is an absence of these manifestations of the Spirit, there will be a deficiency in the body. So, if these things are not happening in our lives, it indicates a deficiency. God wants us to be experiencing these things. And so, in today's environment, we can't afford that deficiency. We need these gifts. And you know, you think of when the gospel first went out, and as we've said many times over, especially studying 1 Corinthians, the culture today is becoming more and more like the world that they went out into initially with the gospel, the Greco-Roman world. And what did they go out with? They went out preaching, proclaiming the word of God, but they went out with the power of the Spirit. As a matter of fact, Jesus told them not to go anywhere until they received that empowering. So, for our own sakes and the sake of the mission, we need to be experiencing all that God has for us. So, now, we've already looked at some of these. As you remember, we've already considered the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. We spoke about faith and the gifts of healings. We spoke about miracles, and I shared a couple of things with you. But let me just share a few other things. People reminded me of things this past week, came up to me and said, "Hey, Brian, remember that one person that we prayed for, and they had the problem with their leg, and they were going to have to go in for a big surgery, and remember, we prayed for them, and they went back to the doctor, and then they didn't need the surgery. The doctor said, everything's fine. There's no need for a surgery." I said, "Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's a good story." And then the same guy was reminding me. He said, "You know, I want to remind you, a while back I came to you and I said, would you pray for I really feel a need to speak with my brother." And he said, "Would you pray that God would open a door to speak with my brother about the Lord?" So we prayed and just asked for that very thing. And what he told me the other night, he said, "You know what? That next morning at 7 o'clock, my brother called me, who he hadn't had any conversation with. Normally his brother didn't want to talk about spiritual things. Called him at 7 o'clock in the morning and said, 'Hey, I need to talk to you about the Lord.'" And so I said, "Well, you know, that's great." And I don't know, those are answers to prayer. Obviously, in the situation with the leg, there's a healing thing going on there. Many of you know John Henry Corcoran. John does the Thursday morning Bible study. And of course, John's been a pastor here for many years. But John has told me often about some of the amazing things that the Lord's just doing with the congregation on Thursday morning. 300-400 people coming out on Thursday morning. And John is really committed to praying for people after that service. He's often here for a couple of hours after the service finishes, just, you know, with people, and they're praying. And quite often, they're seeing some really amazing things happening. So all of this to say, you know, the Lord is at work. And sometimes we don't necessarily, you know, talk that much about it. And so, you know, a lot of times people might not be aware of the kinds of things that were happening. But he told me a great story that I'll tell real quick. There's a lady in the church, and a few weeks ago, I see her all the time, and I talk to her on Sunday mornings, and she's a very old lady. She's actually 97 years old. And so she comes, and she's got her little walker, you know, and her daughter's with her, who's, I think, probably in her 70s. And, you know, they come to church every Sunday. And like I said, I always say hi to them and greet them. And so I was standing there having a conversation with them. And she looked at me, the 97-year-old lady, and she said, "Do you know my name?" And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I don't. I hate to admit that, but no, I don't." She said, "My name is Ruby." And I said, "Okay, Ruby, I'll never forget your name. But I know you, and I've talked to you many times, and I've seen you for years and so forth." So, well, John Henry was telling me, a couple of years ago, he was called to the hospital. Ruby was 95 years old, and she was on her deathbed, and she was ready to die. So John's called over to pray for her. He goes in, and he lays hands on her and prays for her, and lo and behold, she gets completely healed. And she comes, and listen to this, though. She comes back to John Henry, and she says, "What did you do? What did you do to me? I was ready to go to heaven. And here I am still." So, you know, who knows what the Lord's going to do? Great things. So, picking up where we left off with the gift of prophecy. Now, as we're going to see as we go further on here in, you know, the next couple of chapters, what Paul is really, although he, you know, mentions these various manifestations here, the thing that he really is zeroing in on and encouraging is prophecy. And he talks about the blessing that prophecy is to the church. And the Corinthians seem to think that tongues was the ultimate gift. Paul says, well, it doesn't say prophecy is the ultimate gift, but he says, look, prophecy is really the better gift in the context of edification of the body. But let me just remind you of what prophecy is. It's a word from the Lord. It's a word that God speaks to a person through a person. And it could be through me to you from this pulpit. There can be a prophetic word. It could be from you to me after the service. You come up and say, you know, the Lord just put something on my heart, and you share it. That could be it. It even could be a passage of Scripture that is specifically directed toward your situation or toward your future or whatever the case might be. But it is a word that comes from the Lord. And it's a direct word. And Paul says that prophecy, the one who prophesies, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. So this is what prophecy does. It edifies, which means, of course, it builds us up. It exhorts, which means it encouragingly challenges us. And it comforts. It can do all three. It can do any one of the three. But that's what prophecy does. It's a gift of blessing. Now, over the years, I've encountered people that felt that they had a gift of prophecy, but their so-called prophetic gift was not edifying, exhorting, or comforting. So often it was condemning. So often it was, "Thus saith the Lord, God is going to burn this church down because you're all a bunch of backsliders." And there used to be a guy years and years ago, ages ago, and he would make his way to the churches in the area. He'd just go up and down the coast. And I actually got to be friends with him. It was kind of safe to befriend him. You know, he wouldn't give any evil prophecies against me if I was nice to him. So, but you know, he would always come to the church, and I mean, he even got at one point. I think he even had like a leather belt and a camel hair thing, and you know, a pack of locusts. I mean, he was going for it. He had a stick that he used to, a staff, you know. But wherever he would go, he would just pronounce this wrath and this judgment. And, you know, he was a prophet. But he wasn't. He wasn't speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort. He never was. It was always condemnation and wrath. And you know, so that's not what it is. It's a gift that builds us up. It's a gift that speaks good things into our lives. So, as I said, prophecy can come in a variety of ways. It can come through someone simply quoting a scripture to us. It can come through somebody passing something onto us that God's put on their heart. And it can come verbally that way. It can come in written form that way. And I'll tell you, I have had a few occasions where God has spoken prophetically to me through someone, and it's come through a letter. It's come through email, modern technology. And yet it's, you know, it's just an absolute word from the Lord. A couple of times I've read over letters that people have sent me, and I just thought, you know, there's absolutely no way in the world this person could know any of the things that they're describing. It would be humanly impossible for them to know the circumstances, but they know them, they describe them, and then they give a word of direction and encouragement. And I'll tell you, on a few occasions, I have been so impacted and so blessed and so instructed and actually directed by the Lord through a prophetic word on how to, you know, navigate a difficult situation or something like that. So that's what prophecy does. It can come sometimes even in the course of a conversation. You know, somebody can be speaking to you just in a normal conversation. They could be prophesying. They might not even know it. But as they're speaking, something's happening. Man, God is speaking to me through this person right now. Have you ever had an experience like that? Have you ever had an experience where you're just maybe in a normal conversation and somebody says something and just boom, it's like, man, there was something different that happened right there. There was something distinct that God spoke. And they, like I said, they weren't even necessarily aware that it was the case. It can come to us individually or to the church collectively. And so there are times when in meetings gathered together as God's people, as the body of Christ, there are times somebody might have a prophetic word that would even speak to an entire congregation collectively. I think when Paul and Barnabas were, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them to. I think it was probably a word like that. They were gathered together. They were ministering to the Lord. They were waiting upon him. And I don't think there was an audible voice from heaven that came. I think it was probably somebody there in the meeting spoke this word forth, and it was a prophetic word. God had called them to this mission that they then embarked on. And so one other thing here, prophecy can pertain and often does pertain to the future, but it doesn't necessarily have to pertain to the future. It could have something to do with the past. It could be a word from the Lord telling you that the decision you made was the right decision, something like that. When I say that, because when we think of prophecy, so often we think of it in terms of eschatology. We think of it in terms of, you know, the prophetic scenario, the second coming of Jesus and so forth. And of course, that's prophecy, but it's a different kind of prophecy than what we're talking about here. So this is the gift of prophecy, the beautiful gift of prophecy. And as we get into chapter 14, like I said, Paul's going to say, hey, if you're going to aspire to a gift, aspire to prophesy, because that's the gift that's going to bless the most people. So a couple of questions. Who can prophesy? Well, potentially all believers can prophesy. Because remember, these are the gifts of the Spirit. They're the Spirit's. They belong to the Spirit. They don't belong to me or you. They belong to the Spirit, and He distributes them as He wills, according to His will. So any one of us potentially could be a conduit through which a prophetic word could come. Now, like it is with some of the other gifts that we've talked about, there are people who seem to operate more frequently in certain gifts than others. And as I also mentioned, I think quite often prophecy happens in conjunction with preaching and teaching God's word. There's something there that's going on much of the time. And of course, when the preacher is depending on the Spirit of God, that's when it's really, there's a real, you know, freedom for that to take place. So any of us could potentially prophesy. Now, here's another question. Are those who prophesy prophets? The answer is no. We don't want to go around labeling people as, well, hey, you know, that person's a prophet. Because the idea then you get when you think of a person as a prophet is you think of them as infallible. You think that, well, everything they say must be from God. No, we don't have anybody like that today. There's no prophetic gift like that in operation today. The prophets of old, that was their, they spoke, thus says the Lord, and then everything they said after that was the words of God. But we don't have that kind of a manifestation of prophecy in the New Testament period. We do have the gift of prophet. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us God gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And yet the gift prophet there, it's distinguished from the Old Testament prophet, and it's also different than this gift of prophecy. So the person who exercises the gift of prophecy is not a prophet. Remember, these gifts are not the permanent possession of any believer. These are manifestations of the Spirit that come according to the sovereign will and purpose of God. Now, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, they're a little bit difficult to distinguish between which is which, and I think there's an overlapping with these and a combining. You know, you can have a prophetic thing and a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom happen. You know, so again, Paul doesn't really give us any real crystal clear definition, so it's a little bit difficult to, you know how to identify something exactly. But in each one, there's something supernatural taking place. And again, these three in particular will often happen in a teaching context. Now, one other word on prophecy. There is a tendency to abuse prophecy. And that's where we have to be careful. Just like there was a tendency among the Corinthians, and there's a tendency in certain groups today to abuse the gift of tongues, so in some circles today, there's a tendency to abuse prophecy. And what happens is they put an overemphasis on prophecy, and generally, they do so to the exclusion of the written word. And they are promoting the idea and talking about the terminology that's used is a word. Hey, I've got a word from the Lord. Hey, did you get a word from the Lord? And what that is describing is an impression that they've gotten that they believe is a word from the Lord, and they're going to come to you personally, or they're going to come to a congregation or whatever, and they're going to give that word. Now, there's a legitimate place for that, but the danger is, and it becomes abuse when a word becomes more important than the word. You see, we know this is a word from the Lord, the biblical text. There's no doubt about it. But we don't always know that these other words are from the Lord. And so we have to be careful. And we have to recognize that it can be abused. We have to recognize that people can come up with a word that's not really from the Lord. So we just want to make sure that we don't overstate the importance and run off in this thing where, you know, everything is about a word. Did you get a word? Do you have a word? And that happens in certain circles today. And everybody's giving words to one another, and they're then, you know, sort of basing their life's decisions on, well, hey, you know, I got a word from this person that I'm going to be a great evangelist, and I got a word from this person that I'm going to have a gift of healing. And then they go out and they attempt to do things, and they don't really come together. And then they, you know, they're all confused because, well, wait, I got a word from the Lord. So that's why there's a need to test the prophecies. And in the 14th chapter, when Paul gets more into prophecy, he says, let one prophesy, let one speak, and let others judge. Because it's possible to give a word that's not really a word from the Lord. I've had a number of people over the years come to me and say, I've got a word for the Lord from you, and they've shared it with me, and I've said, sorry, it's not a word from the Lord. I don't bear witness. There's nothing in my soul that's resonating with that thing that you've said. To me, my own personal experience is when there is a word from the Lord, I know it. You know, there's just a bearing witness in your spirit that this is something that's come from God. But the reason I'm talking a little bit about this is because there has been a ton of chaos and confusion brought into the church over this infatuation with this whole thing of a word. And there have been some, you know, crazy things prophesied. And there's certain segments of the church where they're just super into this. This is their whole deal, is to get together and, you know, everybody's got a word. And I've heard so many things, you know, that have gone as a prophecy that, you know, the best way to find out whether it's really from the Lord is, did it come to pass? So just a word of caution there. Recognize that there is the possibility that the gift can be abused, and so we have to test it. And so the next thing that Paul mentions here is discerning of spirits. And it could be that he's referring to those who would discern the legitimacy of the prophecy. Because like I said, he says, let one prophesy and let others, those that are sitting by, let them judge as to whether the prophecy is legitimate. So discernment certainly could have application there. Again, it's a little bit difficult because Paul just mentions it. He doesn't really give us any detail about it. He just says to another, discerning of spirits. But I think that we could understand it also as the God-given ability to recognize false teaching and false teachers. You know, unfortunately, not every Christian has the ability to do that. The ability to recognize when there is false teaching or false teachers. And I think also we could add, probably, since it's talking about discerning of spirits, I think the ability to detect the demonic versus the Spirit of God. Now, that would apply in what I just said when it comes to teaching, but of course, you can have demonic manifestations when there's no teaching involved. And sometimes people will make reference to certain behaviors and certain responses and so forth, and they'll say, well, look, you know, look at that person spazzing out on the floor. Look at that person rolling around there. Look at that person barking like a dog or whatever. That person's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. No, somebody with discernment would come along and say, oh, no, I think that's demonic. I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. But again, sometimes Christians don't have enough discernment to recognize, you know, that's not what the Lord does.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson. And we do hope you make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Manifestation of the Spirit, Part 2, or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0213. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBurdison and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBurdison. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.